Good afternoon. Welcome to today's meeting. We'd like to acknowledge that we are joining you today from the territories of, the traditional territories of the Coast Salish, specifically Esquimalt, Songhees, Chena, Wasaynutch peoples, represented by the Sartlep, Palquechan, Sayout, Sekum, and Malahat nations. We are grateful for their stewardship of these lands. My name is Nithya Iyer. I am a Justice of the Supreme Court of British Columbia and Chair of the Electoral Boundaries Commission. Please allow me to introduce my fellow commissioners. On my left is Linda Tynan, Commissioner and Local Government Advisor, and on my right is Anton Bogman, Commissioner and Chief Electoral Officer of British Columbia. I'd like to tell you a little bit about who we are and what we do. We are an independent and nonpartisan commission created by the Electoral Boundaries Commission Act. The Act requires commissions like ours to review electoral districts after every second provincial general election. Our job is to review the area, boundaries, and names of existing electoral districts and to make recommendations for change. The way we do that is by first asking BC residents for their views on this topic. That is the purpose of today's meeting. After this first round of public consultations, we will publish a preliminary report with our initial recommendations. We hope to be doing that by early fall 2022. After we've published our initial report, we'll then have a second round of public hearings asking for public input on the changes we've proposed. Following that, we'll write our final report and recommendations. It will also be public, and it must be submitted in April 2023 to the Legislative Assembly. Ultimately, it's the Legislative Assembly that decides whether to accept all, some, or none of our recommendations. So, what are the factors we consider in making recommendations? The Electoral Boundaries Commission's Act explains what they are. Our governing principle is representation by population. That is defined in the BC Electoral Boundaries Commission Act. In order to achieve representation by population, we must consider the factors set out in the Act, and they are geographic factors, such as the accessibility and size of electoral districts, demographic factors, such as population numbers, rate of growth, and communities of interest, and we must also consider means of communication and transportation within electoral districts. We have to try to ensure that each electoral district is within 25% of the population average of an electoral district. That population average is about 57,000 people. But we can exceed this range if we consider that it is necessary to achieve effective representation. There are currently 87 electoral districts in BC, and the Act allows us to propose up to 6 additional electoral districts. If we did so, the total would be 93. So that's the background structure within which we function. If you'd like to make a presentation today and you haven't already done so, please sign in at the back with Chad at the registration desk. And I should also say at this point, I have 3 people who've indicated that they'd like to present. If something occurs to you or you want to respond to something that you've heard a presenter say, you're welcome to sign up with Chad at any point during today's meeting. I'd like you to know as well that we are audio recording all public meetings, and we will make them available on our website, which is www.bcebc.ca. If you make a presentation, your name and community will be listed with the audio recording. If you have questions about our privacy policy, you can access that and read it on our website. We're asking everyone to limit their presentations to about 10 minutes in the interests of consistency across all public meetings. And I'd also like to encourage you to send in, if possible, a written copy of your presentation to us through our website. While you'll see us making notes, and of course we're listening carefully, you can appreciate that over the course of these 5 weeks of traveling around the province, it might get a little muddled in our heads. So if you can send in a presentation, that would be great. When we've heard from all presenters, I'll close the meeting, but we won't be taking off immediately afterwards. So if you'd like to come up and chat with one or more of us more informally, or if you have questions we can answer, we'd be happy to do so. So I will now begin calling our presenters. Our first presenter is Alexander Fraser. It's you? Okay.
In the interest of hearing me, I hope you don't mind if I keep the mask off.
No, I should have said, if you're presenting, please feel free to take your masks off.
Okay. Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you today. There are really two issues I'd like to bring up with you, and I believe they're both important to your deliberations. The first issue is a general one, and it's with respect to protecting province-wide representation in the provincial legislature. The second issue is a much more local one, and it's with respect to the present boundaries between Esquimalt Wachosen as a riding and the Victoria Beacon Hill riding. So if I can just start with issue one. When you gave notice of this meeting, I had a look at the population stats, and it's pretty clear British Columbia's population is growing pretty dramatically, and from what I've seen from Stats Canada, about 16% over the last decade. Now, most of this population growth has been concentrated in the more developed areas of the province, the urban areas like Greater Victoria, like Vancouver and the Lower Mainland, and like the Fraser Valley. And population growth in some of the other areas, like the interior and the north, have been much slower. And in fact, I understand some areas are actually declining in population. Obviously, you've said yourself that the primary thing is representation by population. So there is going to be some strong pressure upon you to recommend a realignment of the electoral boundaries that favor those fast-growing urban communities at the expense of the slower-growing, more rural ones. And that concerns me, and I would really ask the Commission to consider very carefully before going down that route. A cursory look at the map that you've got up there, it shows that many of the ridings in those slower-growing, more urban or more rural areas are already geographically immense. Ridings like Prince George North, North Coast, and Stikine are already the size of some European countries. It's not at all clear to me that effective representation can be maintained if some of those ridings are made even larger. It's difficult now. Opportunities for face-to-face contact with elected representatives are important during emergencies and during election campaigns. And already, in some of these ridings, it's almost impossible. And I would, at the end of the day, I think, regardless of the population trends, representation needs to be maintained for some of those large rural ridings. And that's something I'd like you to consider very carefully. The second issue I bring up relates to the current boundary between Victoria Beacon Hill and Esquimalt Wachosen. And basically, that border right now lies at the municipal boundary between the city of Victoria and the municipality of Esquimalt. Now, superficially, that makes a lot of sense. You know, one riding in one municipality, one riding in the other. But the effect is to incorporate an area known as Vic West, Victoria West, into the Victoria Beacon Hill riding. Now, the problem with that is that although Vic West is technically part of Victoria, it is, in fact, geographically separated from Victoria by two bridges. In fact, the assumption the vast majority of the population in Victoria is if you go across one of those bridges, you're in Esquimalt. Virtually nobody knows that there's actually a part of Victoria over there. And in terms of community, Vic West as an area is much more aligned with Esquimalt than it is with Victoria. Just in terms of residents in the area, they tend to use the retail, recreational, other facilities located in Esquimalt and more locally in Vic West itself. They don't tend to go over that bridge to Victoria. In effect, the present boundary between the two ridings breaks the social community of Esquimalt into two pieces and says to one part, you got to vote in Victoria Beacon Hill. The other part, you can vote in Esquimalt. Well, yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. One thing is it creates a tremendous amount of confusion on part of voters with respect to candidates. The election campaign signs are right next to each other. Who do you vote for? And the potential for spoiled ballots is very high in those circumstances. And I know it happened a number of times in the past election where you had to write in the name of the candidates with some of the ballots. The potential for non-participation in elections is also high, where people don't believe the candidate they're voting for. Well, that's a Victoria candidate. He doesn't care about my issues. The issues in this community. As a specific example I'll give you, I personally live on Craigflower Road. Now, Craigflower Road runs along three blocks from me. I vote in Esquimalt-Machosen. Three blocks along, you vote in Victoria Beacon Hill. I've got a friend who lives along there, and we have talked about this extensively. I mean, what's going on here? We believe we're in the same community, but we're voting in two different ridings. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. I think there's a very strong rationale to incorporate that Victoria West area. And if you look at your maps, you can see it's a little sliver into the Esquimalt-Machosen riding, just to eliminate confusion, encourage electoral participation. And I'd further add to you, from a population perspective, and that's obviously a big factor in this, the additional rationale is that if you look at the numbers on your own website, the population in Victoria Beacon Hill is 9% over your average. Esquimalt-Machosen is 4% under. So, you know, and if you changed the boundary there, that would help to address that imbalance. Also, you know, there'd be no substantive change in the geographic size or the extent of the riding. What we're talking about here is 250 acres. And Vic West itself is well connected and on the same transportation corridor as the rest of the riding. Thank you for hearing me out on that.
Thank you very much for your presentation. We've certainly heard concerns expressed, I think, on all sides of the issue with the obvious challenge that we're going to have to face in our deliberations about the distribution of the population across the province. And that's just a fact that we're going to have to deal with that in some way, and your submission on that point echoes some of the ones that we've heard to date. And I'd also like to thank you for talking about your local situation. That's one of the really important things for us, because we're just three people. We don't represent the whole province's experience, that wouldn't really be possible. And so it's very valuable when we travel to different communities to hear the specifics of what people in those communities feel are their communities of interest. So thank you on both counts.
I do have a written copy that I could leave with your secretary.
Certainly, or you could email it in, whichever is easier for you.
Thank you for hearing me.
All right, thank you. I'm now going to call on Rob Martin.
Thank you.
He brought a cheering section.
I did. I brought my cheer squad with me. So. thank you. Thank you for your time. So my name's Rob Martin. I'm the mayor for the city of Colwood. And I just wanted to just share a little bit with you just about what's happening here in the West Shore, and just so that you sort of understand the growth that's happening within our region. So we've seen significant population growth happening. So, for example, with the city of Colwood right now, we've just become 19,600 people. What that's going to mean is we're actually becoming the fourth largest jurisdiction within Greater Victoria, and we expect and will continue probably to see that growth. That in relation to Langford, we're seeing a huge growth period here. So, for example, one of the things I wanted to share with you is the Sooke School District is the fastest growing school district, has the fastest per capita student growth within the entire province. As you're aware, Langford is the fastest growing municipality within this region. Sooke is the third fastest, and Colwood is the fifth fastest within the region. I wanted you to sort of understand where our growth periods are and where that growth is sort of heading. So if you, for example, just looked at Colwood and Langford right now, we are at 86,800 people. And I wanted to share two numbers with you. So I wanted to use 2038 as the example. So if you were using BC Stats information, Colwood is anticipated to be at 30,000. Langford is anticipated to be at 72,000. So that would be 103,000 people. The entire region would take us to, of the West Shore, would be about 126,000. According to BC Stats. At the same time right now, though, we're going through a planning process for our RCMP, and we're trying to figure out and we're trying to forecast out the next 15 to 20 years on that. And so that when we try and get those numbers to be a little tighter to understand what we need to build for our building, how many officers we're going to be hiring for, that sort of cop-to-pop ratio, those same jurisdictions, Colwood, Langford, Machosin, View, Royal, Highlands, instead of being at 126,000, we land at 151,000. So you can see that there's a significant growth that we're anticipating. Right now, View Royal is growing at 1.86 per year. Colwood is growing at 2.5% per year. Langford right now is growing at 6% per year, but they're anticipating to ramp down to 4, then 3, and then eventually get down to 2.5% growth per year. And so you're going to be seeing a significant growth within the West Shore, and wanting to ensure that we're capturing that from a population standpoint, that we're being fairly represented. And that's why I'm here today. Just wanted to sort of share that information with you, and I appreciate the time. Thank you. That's it.
That's it. Well, that's thank the you whole very thing. Much. That much appreciated. That's exactly the kind of information that is helpful to us. So.
Excellent.
Thank you for that. All those numbers.
You are welcome. Yeah, I know. Well, you got something to live up to now.
Do I understand that the next presenter is Mike Hicks?
Thank you. Well, thanks for giving me this opportunity to address the commission. My name is Mike Hicks, and I'm the Regional Director of the Juan de Fuca Electoral Area in the Capital Regional District. Unlike the big city mayor like Rob Martin, I only represent about 5,500 people. I'm basically out in the sticks in the CRD. In the CRD, as you probably know, there's 13 municipalities and three electoral areas. They're primarily urban communities of those municipalities of Victoria, Saanich, Oak Bay, Esquimalt, and View Royal. Then there are primarily rural communities in the CRD. I don't count the whole thing as the same thing, which Central Saanich, North Saanich, Sydney, Salt Spring Island, the Gulf Islands, Juan de Fuca, and Metchosin. So we've got a little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll there. Sooke, Colwood, and Langford are urban and they're rural. So they've got a real mix in there. And I say that because both urban and rural come with their own attitudes, their own problems, and their own solutions. They're not all one, especially in provincial politics. Urban communities, like Victoria and stuff, are dealing with large-scale homelessness, very visible and very public addictions on the streets, urban sprawl, traffic congestion, transportation problems, freedom protests, environmental protests, and dealing with the huge and rapid increase in population. Rural communities, like where I'm from, are dealing with entirely different issues. We're dealing with climate change, sea level rise. I mean, literally the water's coming up, and I have people in Port Renfrew, their houses, they've lost their beach. It's so foggy there in July. They had 2 days without fog last year. That's directly because of climate change. I mean, there's this different, you wouldn't even think of that issue, but that's an issue. There's changing the building codes and setbacks. Depletion of the aquifer is a big problem because we're using well water. We're not on city water. Maintenance of the provincial parks is a problem. Maintenance of highways because they're outside municipalities, so the BC government's in charge of those roads. I can't put a speed bump on any of the roads because it's a provincial problem. What I'm getting at is the province is directly involved in our day-to-day life, and the representative, of course, has to be as well. And we're very grateful and thankful we have a good one, John Horgan, who's also the premier, so he's very good to get things done. We have a lack of doctors. We've got UNDRIP, which is, you know, dealing with First Nations. It changes the land use decisions with First Nations. And, of course, we have natural resource issues such as the Ferry Creek blockades, which aren't common. Well, they're getting more common now in the city. So I would request that you consider establishing a new additional riding in the CRD because the population of the CRD, as Rob has said, has gone from 383,000 5 years ago in 2016 to 415,000 in 2021. So that's 32,000 extra souls in the last 5 years. In the next 2 years, which would coincide with the next election, at the rate of increase now, because it's getting faster, especially Langford and Colwood, there's no question it'll be at least 50,000 more people living in the CRD by the time between elections. And I think that's what you're looking at. So in addition to the population, the problem faced by urban and rural communities, like Port Renfrew, has totally different concerns than Victoria. But they're very different and they're very unique. And ideally, we would have a chance to elect a representative that are familiar with the issues and the solutions of the areas. Like the MP or the MLA that's representing Victoria or Esquimalt, totally different person that would represent Otter Point and Port Renfrew, and it's totally different. So this was, so in addition to one more riding, I wonder if you'd looking at the boundaries and say, because this would require a boundary change in addition to one more riding. Port Renfrew, Jordan River, and the Pachydat Nation, for instance, they might be way better suited for joining with Cowichan and the Didydat Nation, which are linked to the Pachydat, than remaining in the same riding with their urban neighbors in Sooke, Langford, and Colwood, and the Sauk Nation. So it's sort of a different thinking, but it's why not? I mean, the issues out Jordan River and the Pachydat are really the same as Cowichan and the Didydat, and they don't have a hell of a lot to do with my friend over there in Colwood. There's just not the same thing. So you'd have to readjust things. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I think you you matched your cheering section.
That's good. He's not lucky.
That'll go to his head.
He's lucky I'm not running again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We can have some fun in this.
So that's the end of my list of presenters. Is there anyone else who would like to make a presentation? Yes?
I did sign in at the back earlier.
Perhaps if you could just give us your name.
My name is R.J. Sanko. I live in Esquimalt. Just to add a few details to the case that was made regarding a boundary adjustment for Esquimalt-Mitchozen to include Vic West, if you were to do that, it would be roughly 30 kilometers from one end of the riding to the other, the southeast extremity of Vic West to the westernmost part of Mitchozen. So easily navigable in a very short period of time, depending on the time of day that you're doing it, of course. But it is a common transportation network, both by road and by transit and by car, common communication links. And as was noted earlier, there's a lot of synergies between Vic West and Esquimalt, probably more so than between Vic West and Victoria itself. I would also say that we are in Victoria, Esquimalt. We're under the average for the population. And looking at the CRD's numbers, they project out to 2038 that growth in Esquimalt will be 4.2%, Colwood 4.6%, View Royal 3.1%, and Mitchozen 1.1%. So Mitchozen, by its own local government decision, is essentially almost a zero growth entity. So it's not going to vary over a long period of time. If you take those growth numbers, and Vic West, the latest population stats I could find was about 6,800 people. That was from 2016, and they're about 9% of Victoria's population. So if you extrapolate out of Victoria's population of 2021 of just over 94,000 people, Vic West would be about 8,500. So you would be adding 8,500 to the current or the projected 55,000 that will be here in 2038 for about 61,000 people, which is within the variance that you're allowed and makes much more sense from a continuity standpoint, community of interest, transportation, that sort of thing. So those were the points I wanted to make. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right. Does anybody else want to make a comment during the formal part of the meeting? Seeing no one, I'm going to say that closes the formal part of the meeting. Thank you so much for your presentations and your input. The audio recordings will be available on our website next week. If you have more information that you'd like us to consider, and most importantly, if you know other people who may be interested in participating in our process but weren't able to be here tonight or didn't feel like being here tonight, they can always log on to our website, which is www.bcebc.ca. There's a survey there. In a couple of weeks, we'll have a mapping tool available so you can shift boundaries and see what the effect is on populations. And also, we are holding a virtual public meeting next Tuesday, which is March 29th at 5 p.m. Information about how to join that virtual meeting is on our website. And I would strongly encourage you, or ask you, to encourage others to attend that meeting or to go on our website. It's so important for all of us here as we embark on this task to hear from you about your experience of electoral boundaries within the provincial realm and how best we can go about our job of making recommendations for change. So, once more, thank you all.